Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, August 3rd. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The federal government released new rules for sharing water from the Colorado River. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Alex Hager reports the announcement comes after years of failed negotiations between the seven states that use the Colorado.
The new guidelines will last for a decade and force state officials to tweak water sharing policies every 2 years as river conditions change. They'll cut back on the region's water use in 2027 and 2028, and the exact size of those cuts will likely be announced in the coming days. Arizona, California, and Nevada are expected to reduce their water use. They say they want to volunteer cutbacks after a federal proposal would have forced massive reductions to the Phoenix and Tucson areas. Cities in central Arizona will still likely lose the most water, but most utility departments have spent years preparing for this day. Many have plans to lean harder on other sources of water to soften the impact of Colorado River cuts on residents. Alex Hager, Phoenix.
The federal government stepped in with a new plan Friday to manage the Colorado River before current guidelines expire at the end of the year. Downstream states, Arizona, California, and Nevada, are likely to face the brunt of water reductions. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports on what it means for the Upper Basin.
Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Wyoming were spared by mandatory water cuts in the new federal report. But the plan sets a target for those states to come up with more voluntary reductions, like by leaving crop fields dry or being more efficient with irrigation. Utah started a state conservation program last year, while Colorado and Wyoming are just getting started with new efforts. John Bergren is with the nonprofit Western Resource Advocates.
They need to, as quickly as they can, build out these programs, make sure that they're working, water users are kept whole as they're conserving, and that water is actually making it down to Lake Powell.
Bergren says reaching the conservation targets will take steady funding. The federal government is giving the Upper Basin $100 million, but it may not be enough. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Lawmakers are looking to regulate informal versions of gaming and gambling. Wyoming Public Radio's Jordan Uplinger has the details.
The Select Committee on Gaming is reviewing a bill draft that would regulate raffles, including currently illegal progressive-style games like Queen of Hearts. The goal is to ensure ticket sales are distributed and donated properly. However, some were hesitant to pass a bill draft that may criminalize casual events, like Rock Springs Republican Senator John Kolb.
We're trying to help the average person in the state of Wyoming make a charitable raffle. Give money to something that they think is important, you know, for a good purpose.
The committee spent some time talking about how to strengthen the Gaming Commission's power, how ticket sales are distributed and donated, and whether or not they want to legalize progressive raffles, which would be an expansion of gambling. Ultimately, lawmakers decided to revisit the draft in a few months while the Legislative Service Office and the Gaming Commission collects examples of similar laws in other states. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jordan Uplinger.
As another heat wave sets in across the West, the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports on new research that finds they dramatically impact wildfire growth.
It may sound obvious that hotter weather fuels wildfires, but some of the details of the relationships between heat waves and wildfires are eye-popping.
Heat waves are actually associated with close to half of all the wildfire-burned area in the western U.S. over the past 25 years.
That's Dmitry Kloshnikov, lead author on a paper recently published in the journal Science Advances. There are significant regional variations in the findings, as seen in the grass and shrublands of the Idaho-Oregon-Nevada tri-state area.
Two-thirds of the burned area in those areas is actually heat wave related.
That region has seen intense burning recently and is expected to be heavily impacted by the heat wave. Because human-caused climate change is making heat waves more frequent and intense, Kloshnikov says aggressive action to reduce the burning of fossil fuels is the most important policy response. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Colorado Senator John Hickenlooper is calling for an investigation into the Knowles fire. Three firefighters died after being trapped in a burnover on the fire on June 27th. A fourth crew member died from his injuries this month. Hickenlooper spoke on Thursday on the Senate floor.
Our hearts break for these firefighters and their families who all love them. These families deserve answers. And we need to understand what went wrong so we can prevent future tragedies?
Hickenlooper asked the Department of the Interior to look at whether the Trump administration's recent shift to wildland fire service has played any role in the event. He also drew attention to the intensity of this year's wildfire season and record drought. He asked Congress to do more to address both. Devil's Tower National Monument is reopening this morning after a nearby wildfire forced an evacuation this past weekend. But all trails and backcountry services will remain closed, and visitors should expect to see fire vehicles and crews active in the park. The Left Creek Fire was reported Saturday morning and is about a mile south of the monument. It's about 280 acres and 25% contained. Local, state, and federal agencies sent about 150 firefighters to suppress the blaze from the ground and air. Another fire that started yesterday has residents near Devil's Tower Cemetery under set or ready status. While residents near the Newton Fire may return to their homes, they should be prepared to evacuate on a short notice. The fire is currently around 250 acres. Sheridan County crews have also had their hands full with the roughly 7,200-acre Lumen Fire north of Claremont. That fire started Friday night during lightning storms that ignited a few fires across the region. And here's Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on August 3, 1886, Johnson County held the first fair in the Wyoming Territory. On August 4, 1879, future Wyoming lawman Frank Canton escaped from the Huntsville Penitentiary in Texas and ran away to Wyoming. On August 6, 1887, a Crook County woman was granted two divorces in the same day. We don't know if they were to the same man or different men. On August 8, 1929, a man advertised in the Sunday papers looking for a bride. He had to be wed by September 15th to inherit a fortune. On August 8, 1969, a man from Freedom landed an 11.5-pound German brown trout from an irrigation ditch of the Salt River. It was 29 inches long and had a 17-inch girth. And according to the University of Wyoming American Heritage Center, on August 7, 1939, B.C. Daly, Dean of Men, advised that common dining rooms were inadvisable since men and women had different diets. He came to this conclusion after visiting other universities. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. How long has there been a human presence in what is now called Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, when did the legendary Buffalo Soldiers visit Yellowstone? The Buffalo Soldiers, led by Lieutenant James A. Moss, was a group of 9 African-American soldiers who undertook what was then a grueling bicycle expedition from Fort Missoula, Montana, to determine whether bikes could eventually replace horses in the military. Their time in Yellowstone took place from August 25th to August 29th, 1896, and then they rode back to Missoula. Congratulations to Lindy Myers, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a productive Monday, if that's possible, and join me again tomorrow.